Perhaps a good way to understand this reading about Jesus and Philip and Nathanael is to put ourselves in their place. So, what if I said Jesus Christ has just appeared over by Captain Krusty's fish market? Come and see. No. Okay. Okay. But how was it back then? Back then, 2,000 years ago. This gospel passage is about a very long wait and a fulfillment. Messianic fulfillment is happening in this passage. The Christ has arrived. John 1 tells us the story. Our passage is about Nathanael sitting under a fig tree, perhaps waiting in anticipation, or perhaps satisfied with the status quo of Herod's Jerusalem under Roman occupation. We don't know. He might have been totally indifferent. Israelites of Nathanael's day were waiting for a king to take over the country and place a priestly authority in the Jerusalem temple. In Ezra's day in 520 BC, we read a lot of prophecy about such a person. After 520 years or so, Jesus appeared. Today, we are waiting for a complete makeover of earth and humanity. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because earth is broken and humanity needs to be fixed. Jesus was the reason Nathanael got up from under the fig tree. Philip delivered the good news and Nathanael responded. We have an awesome model in this reading. One person heard and followed right away, Philip. Philip took the time and initiative. Perhaps he heard the Holy Spirit to take him over to Nathanael under the fig tree and say, get up. Something big is happening. He's here. But it seems Nathanael despised Nazareth. Isaiah says the Messiah will be despised. Scoffing, Nathanael said, can anything come out of Nazareth that is good? Without realizing it, Nathanael had given an Old Testament description of the Messiah. Nazareth was a humble town of no consequences politically or socially or spiritually. If Nazareth is despised, then a Nazarene is despised. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he moved to Nazareth, if you remember the story, with his dad, Joseph. So, Nathanael scoffed about a Nazarene, a humble title. How can someone so royal as the Messiah, the King, come from Nazareth? That's exactly what Nathanael is saying. The prophets in the Mosaic Law said the Messiah would be of humble origins, but Nathanael must have forgotten that. We too must remember Nathanael's mistake every time we despise truth that might come from what is small and from what is humble. The conversation between Jesus and Nathanael gets pretty intense. It seems as though they were sizing each other up to me. Jesus identifies Nathanael by telling him he is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael already scoffs Jesus, the Nazarene, and then asks, how do you know that? That's a good question from a man in whom there is no deceit. Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree, is what Jesus replied. And then Jesus makes an extraordinary promise which calls everyone with Nathanael into an extraordinary description of Jesus. Jesus identifies himself and the disciples in the very near immediate future as people who will know God intimately. Extraordinary godly things are about to happen in this story in John, the Gospel of John. Same thing happens today when we go to God. Extraordinary things happen. We might not recognize it. We might not acknowledge it. But things are happening. Children enjoy the story of Jacob's ladder. Jacob goes to sleep on a rock and dreams of a ladder of communication between him and God. Angels climb up and down Jacob's ladder. Jesus says he too will have angels come and go and will be in communication with the Heavenly Father. Jesus' disciples will witness this sacred communication and know Jesus is who he says he is. True transformation from ordinary worldliness to extraordinary heavenly communication is about to happen to Nathanael and the others and to the world through them and Jesus. It is about to come to all of us. It is still happening. We are evidence of this right here. It is carried on. Blessed are we in 2009 who pray to God as if chatting on a cell phone with him. Nathanael met Jesus the Nazarene with an insult. Jesus said, "No deceit in Nathanael." How many times have we insulted the Lord? Out of our real hearts, not out of something just fickle, but we might insult the Lord. An ornery Nathanael met an extraordinary Jesus. Nathanael changed his mind quickly and positively transformed into a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. Have you ever heard the saying, "Perfection consists in doing the ordinary extraordinarily well"? Maybe, maybe not. Let me repeat that. Perfection consists in doing the ordinary extraordinarily well. I don't know if that'll get through 101 Wesleyan theology about perfection, but that's what I'm using today. When I was working for Main Street United Methodist Church, helping work on houses a few weeks back, I met my old fear of heights. I was up a ladder 12 feet off the ground, and the wet rain made it slippery. My imagination and fear brought the vivid picture of me falling and hurting myself. It was only fear of heights. I have that. I'm kind of trembling up here. I prayed. I did the job. It was ordinary, perhaps, to my coworker, but to me, I was conquering fear with Jesus' help. Perfection helped me do something extraordinary. That perfection is Jesus of Nazareth. It was extraordinary for me. For some of you, I know, just nailing or screwing in 12 screws into a window, storm window, might not be that hard, but it got kind of scary for me. And then it got okay. Not to gamble, but I'll bet others have had the same story about prayers and fulfillment. Jesus promised Nathanael he would see angels ascending and descending, and that claim was about Jesus being God's king on earth. My getting over fear of heights was just a tiny, tiny little thing compared to the work Jesus began 2,000 years ago, but yet I am a part of the bigness of it, and that is awesome to me. And I know it's awesome to so many of you also. We have to keep that awesomeness alive. Nathanael saw heaven open to humans. Keep the phone calls going into God's listening ear. Pray. Pray continually. For David Beasley, speaking to you today, that's me, I say, up on that ladder of my own fears, Jesus' empowering spirit went into my wounds, gave me courage, and brokenness was fixed. Just like Israel was getting fixed. Just like humanity is getting fixed. I am not really a brave man. I need Jesus. I am actually a broken man. Every time I go to my knees, I know it. About being broken, I'd like to read from one of my favorite songwriters and poets, Bob Dylan. Broken dishes, broken parts, streets are filled with broken hearts, broken words never meant to be spoken, everything is broken. Broken cutters, broken saws, broken buckles, broken laws, broken bodies, broken bones, broken voices on broken phones. Every time you leave and go off someplace, things fall to pieces in my face. broken hands on broken plows, broken treaties, broken vows, broken pipes, broken tools, people bending broken rules. Everything is broken. It's a sad song. It's a sad reality. Is everything broken? Broken people, a broken relationship with God came out of the perfect Garden of Eden. Israel, during Nathanael's time, was broken and in much need of God to work miracles. I see ordinary brokenness today. But I believe that we are being healed in an extraordinary way by the Son of God, who is teaching us love for God, neighbors, and even enemies, which is what Jesus taught Nathanael and the disciples. For 2,000 years, parents have passed those sayings, those laws, on down to their children. Another generation, children pass it on. Children pass it on. Children pass it on. It is the living word at work transforming us in 2009. It is the living word that is transforming the people on the streets, the hungry, the misfits, those who haven't even heard the call. And if they've heard it, they actually maybe need to have some warmth surrounding that call. We can understand all of this if we do things like join disciples' Bible study and read with friends. We can hold fast to love in the face of death. We can have the extraordinary power to help fix things in our government and in our neighborhoods and in our cities and in our homes. We can stand up for what is right. The Holy Spirit will pour out over our wounds and we will not be afraid. Stand up. The promise to Nathanael of angels ascending and descending of communication with God is a living, continuing promise. God gave us a direct cell phone to Himself when Jesus came. Use it. Pray. Dylan wrote, "Broken hands on broken plows, broken treaties, broken vows. But I know God offered us a healer in Jesus. See our brokenness in sin, repent, and go to work. Feel the work of the Holy Spirit, God's most awesome, awesome Spirit, filling you, healing you. The book of Joel says it will be poured out. It is poured out. Even now, even tomorrow, even the day after, we do know that. Have faith, hope, and love. Again, pray. Sacrifice our time and be ever mindful of others. That is the call to work as a servant. Our King Jesus even washed feet as a servant and became a royal judge sitting at the right hand of God. Being small as a little child is perfectly okay with Jesus. No matter how high we might climb in our social ladders, being as small as a child, honest as Nathanael, with no deceit, what good can come out of Nazareth? Whew. You know what good came out of Nazareth. Scripture says, "The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Psalm 51:17. I'd pray that all of us would put that cross in our hearts and walk with it. Pick up our own cross and do what we need to do. Thank you. Amen and amen.